listeners and viewers, we are back, and we've got Scott in his bamboo hut somewhere in the middle of civilization, and he's been sharing with us some really, really interesting, rich insights about where technology takes us and where technology helps us and when technology can help us actually arrest the anxiety and the nervousness and the fear that technology is going to unleash a world that we can't live in without a lot of bad things happening. So, Scott, it's great to have you continue this conversation, because I think you're onto something. This thread that you were talking about at Intuit, where, you know, that's a very big insight you have, that a lot of marketing people are not necessarily following the life and day, you know, day in the life of a customer. And I think you're right. I think when someone does that individually, or when someone forms a group, a tribe of people that do that, I think that's another source code for disruption, because they really understand how someone's doing something and they really get deep and meaningful in their pursuit of a solution to a very specific problem that people are having.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things Intuit did well was, you know, not everybody is comfortable with other people, like, or an extrovert maybe is the best way to say it. And so, you know, and I'm definitely stereotyping here, but if you take the stereotypical engineer who, doesn't want to go out and meet customers, Intuit actually created a process to guide them, to help them, to get to feel more comfortable, whether it was having a peer be with them, whether it was, you know, just a whole number of things. And I just wrote an article in CEO Magazine about inviting customers to your staff meeting. So that's something I did at Intuit. Now, you often hear, of course, I have the empty chair. I'm not talking about that goddamn empty chair. I'm talking about bringing the actual customer. And when I first did that at Intuit, everybody was like, whoa, how can you do that? And I said, this is just an extension. Instead of us meeting him at his office or her at her office, we're just bringing him here. And, you know, obviously there's confidential stuff we need to be sensitive to. But the best way to learn is to hear it from the customer itself. And the best way to do that is in person. You know, Zoom also, if you can get Zoom, is great and all that, but just sitting with them, there's that whole different dynamic.
Agreed. You know, is that, you mentioned earlier, and I want to go back to it, that Intuit actually changed your DNA. In what respect? Was it the fact that it created a, you know, sort of a guy on steroids in terms of your curiosity? Or was it the focus on customers, or what really do you think fundamentally changed after that?
I mean,
Intuit.
Not to be presumptuous or egotistical, but I think A, I was always an extrovert, and B, I was curious. But I think there was one moment that really said it all. So I had my MBA, and I thought I was hot, SHIT. And I went into Scott Cook, the CEO's, the founder of Intuit, you know, the billion-dollar founder, in his office. And I had my PowerPoints and my Excel spreadsheets, you know, and all that. And he basically took it and he just put it on the desk, put his hand on it. He said, Scott, tell me what the customer said. And I said, oh, well, they said this and that. And he goes, no, tell me the exact words they used. And I was just blown away by this guy who is the founder of a company, of a billion-dollar company, really wanting to zero in on the exact words that people use. And that really stuck with me. And Intuit has this whole methodology around customer-driven innovation, which is a big part of, you know, starts out with what I'm saying is, and talks about the problem they're trying to solve. But that was the moment that that really a light bulb went off for me. And then, you know, like a lot of us MBAs, a lot of us business people, we think that talking to a customer is a one and done thing. You know, I mean, unless you're, you know, you're on the phone with customers, your customer support. And I have another story, you know, customer support people get paid to do that. But when I was so Scott Cook, what he said to me was so impactful that I'm like, I can't go to customers' offices every day. So I literally got a couch in my office and I just listened to customer calls at least 2 hours a day, you know, from the call center. So I think long-winded answer is just, I think the seeds were in me, but I needed somebody, you know, like a founder, or, you know, to really push me to do that, to really say, you know, the five whys, like, what are they saying? Why are they saying it? You know, things like that. But then Intuit also had the infrastructure to do that. None of the other companies I did, you know, even Borders, you know, I went to store visits, you know, folks like you said, you need to go to the stores. But in thinking about it, I probably talked to more behind the counter people than the people who were buying.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Interesting. So now you're at LastPass and you're working on new technologies there. Tell us a little bit more about what you're excited about these days.
Yeah. So, you know, I've been lucky and lucky in the sense of being companies working either on new technologies or new trends. And so about 2 years ago, I started focusing on self-service and what that means from a digital experience. And so what I'm excited about is all these different companies have a very fragmented self-serve experience. The classic example is, and I'm sure you've gone through this, you call the credit card company and they're like, what's your name, Ron? What's your name, Ron? And you say, Ron. And, you know, what's the last four digits of your card? And they're like, oh, wrong department. And they transfer you to another department. And they say, right. What's your name? And what's the last, right? And in the digital world, that translates to you go to a site that works on like help articles. You go to a university, like learning part of the company's, a learning site for the company. You go to a community, you go to their main website. And it's all fragmented. And then also it's always from the company organization perspective. In other words, when you look at the navigation, it's not about me or the customer. It's about the departments, right? It says marketing. It says customer service, right? As opposed to, you know, if we put it in the, you know, book lover or music lover or, you know, California something, you know. So what I'm excited about is working on experience to really shake everything up and create kind of this seamless integrated experience where a customer knows that they go there for a problem and they can see like they have different options, kind of like that learning path thing I told you about earlier. The second thing is AI. So I call them the insecure moments or the panic moments of like, something goes on with your credit card, you know, and you call customer service and you're like, I need to solve this right away. The same thing happens when you lose a password, right? And so, you know, how it's not just an or question of AI or not AI. That is the question.
It's
the question,
not binary, right? It's somewhere in between that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about how do you fuse the two together? And so the first part is that user experience where it's seamless and integrated and we know who you are when you get there. And the second thing is you have an AI thought partner, but you also have a human being who can help you get an answer to your question.
You know, that's a really, really interesting insight because I'm thinking about my own worst technology experience from a company. And it has to be in a place where the organization kind of runs a monopoly on you. And so you have limited choice and you have to put up with them. And there isn't really a comparable solution. And in my world in downtown Detroit, it's my internet provider. It's Comcast. And, you know, it has reached the point you described in a nutshell, virtually every one of my experiences being bumped four times and being asked my question, you know, my name, rank and serial number at least eight times. Yeah. And it got to the point where the last time I had something taken care of by them, I had to change my password. And now, you know, for anyone who's trying to get into my accounts on that particular site, it's Comcast sucks, you know, because I couldn't take it anymore, you know, and I think a lot of people would welcome. I mean, that's, you're taking on a problem, in other words, listening to customers. That's a really profound one that a lot of people would say, you know, I will head that way. I think one place where customers will head is where you're making things easier for them. And you've just described a scenario like that. And I think the other place where people will head are with companies that take a stand in terms of kindness, empathy, inclusion, and those kinds of things. I think people, I think for a lot of people, that matters. And if the brand you're supporting supports those things, you're going to throw your money there. And if you're hearing a lot of stories, witness over the last month, the case for Tesla. Tesla's sales are going down the tubes, and that's a reflection of brand, and that's a reflection of values. You know, that's a reflection of people's priorities and what they consider important. And it's not just the product. It's the way you treat people, and it's the way you help navigate people through an experience that's meaningful and helpful to them.
Yeah, no, it's a really good point. It's because part of that project I'm working on is, you know, WYSIWYG, what you see is what you get. And if you have a seamless experience and you have, you know, your, and that's like the graphics on the page, the text, all that reinforces trust, right? And there's been a lot of research done about, you know, trust. I mean, you know, if I go, I'm married now, but when I used to go on dates, you know, when I listened to the people I went out with, you know, as I listened to them, I would build more, I'd become more comfortable. I'd be, you know, trust them more, and I'd open up to more. It's the same thing about how you present a web page or even how you present a chatbot. I mean, all that stuff is interrelated.
You know, I can't agree more. I think as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking, okay, now imagine you have the opportunity to look 30 years into the future, and you look at some of the tools you're working on, some of the solutions you're building, and some that the industry are bringing that you obviously as a thought leader clearly understand and are following and tracking. How different is the world going to look in the next 30 years?
Yeah. Just one thought, as you were talking, one thing that triggered to me, cause, you know, this is called Disrupt Ed, but as people think about what they want to do, I think it's really important to solve, to work for a company or work for a product that you can relate to. Like, I love books and music and video. And you say, well, what about passwords? That's not like, you know, it's hard to build an emotional relationship with it. But I picked something that was really bothering me, right? So the frustration you felt with Comcast or what I felt with, you know, one of my credit card companies, right? So I'm on a mission to help solve that angst, because I don't want people to be like me and throw, you know, the phone against the wall.
That's a really good insight. I like that.
In terms of 30 years from now, you know, I never really can answer those questions because things just move so fast. I tend to think, personally, I think in 6 month time frames, but if I think, you know, a year or two out or things like that, I think we're at the beginning of what voice can do. You know, when a year ago, and I have to like deactivate my Alexa as I tell this story, otherwise she'll answer the question for me. But a year ago I was using ChatGPT and other services like that with text. You know, now I do a lot of voice with it. You know, I watch my kids how they send, you know, they don't necessarily do text messages, they do voice to text, right? Adobe, when I was there, experimented a lot with really having their employees use voice to really drive some of the products. So I think voice is really untapped right now. I think that's a huge, and people have talked about it. I'm really curious to see what Amazon does in terms of voice. They're putting more emphasis into voice. But there's no reason, you know, we talked about our friend Rick Van Zero. When you go to a restaurant, you know, how that's evolved. We've gone to the menu, to this little dashboard on the screen, to, a code that you scan and then order. But, you know, that's going to evolve to you just kind of talking to, you know, some device and just say what I want. Or you're walking to the restaurant and on your phone, you just say, look, here you're going to see the bad side of me. I'm going to be at the In-N-Out Burger in 20 minutes. You know, can you order this for me?
That's a great example. Well, In-N-Out Burger, you know, Rick would appreciate that one because they have what he calls high craveability. You know, In-N-Out Burger, I mean, you know, people on the West Coast, I have to, subvert my appetite and interest in In-N-Out Burgers because we don't have them here, but that is a thing you know, and that is a craveability.
So, yeah.
So, Scott, as we're wrapping this up, I want to hear from you. If you were to tell our audience something about this conversation we're having as it's evolved to, you know, kind of what we learned after we sold books and music, you know, it's kind of what we learned about the world of technology and the world as it's revealing itself to us. What do you want to share with the, you know, what are some of your last thoughts for our audience today?
Yeah, I mean, follow your passion, right? I think that's really important. You know, I've run some workshops around just how to identify your passion is really key. And just if I have a few minutes, you know, there's an exercise I do where I call it the journey line, where you basically plot the highs and lows in your life. And, you know, so the high for me might be working at Borders, the low might be, you know, when my parents got divorced or something like that. Mm-hmm. But as you do that, right? So, and so the bot, I'm gonna get really nerdy here. So one axis basically is your age, and the other is your energy level, your passion. Mm-hmm. And you basically are plotting the highs and lows. But then when you do that, you can identify the themes, right? So some of the common themes for me are teams. Like, I love working in teams. So I plot sports when I was young. I plot when I worked on the Borders, the launch team for Borders.com, things like that. So I think one key thing is, you know, as you think about technology, think about how it can tie to your passion, right? So if it's learning, I mean, I talked about using a bot as a thought partner. If it's baseball, you know, there's definitely the ways to learn about, you know, how to improve your swing or your pitch or whatever. If it's you want to learn how to put together PowerPoint presentations, right? So identify first before you step up to the plate and use any of these technologies, is really figure out like where your passion is and what you want to learn, and push yourself, you know, and also use the humans around you to kind of pull those threads of, say, okay, so you're interested in baseball. Like, what does that really mean? You know, pitching, catching, coaching, hitting, you know, coaching, playing, those sorts of things.
Love that answer. And with that, we're going to wrap, but I'm not going to wrap up until I get your commitment to come back. I could talk about this stuff forever with you. You bring a lot of insight to the world of work and how technology is shaping it, but how we can also let it shape things to our advantage and to our betterment by just simply digging in, by being curious, by casting fear aside and really digging into things. I think that's a big takeaway from today's conversation. So can we count on you to come back in a few months and share more?
First of all, it's great to see you again. I, you know, you reminded me of like trying to get those events launched when I was at Borders, working on Borders.com and BordersEvents.com. But anytime, you just call me and I'm more than happy to. And people can find me on LinkedIn. And I think I have a good batting average in terms of, you can see I love baseball. I have a good batting average in terms of getting back to people. You know, I get
yes,
back
you to do. I will vouch for that. You are tremendous at getting back to me. So with that, to our listening and viewing audience, share your feedback about today's episode with Scott Wilder at LastPass. Give us your feedback, share and comment on this show, and come back for more and get disrupted with us. Scott, thanks so much for joining us. Until the next time, let's get disrupted. Thank you.